Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
First Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. We actually took verses 4 and 5 last week, but we'll take them again in review and finish up with verses 6 and 7 today. First Thessalonians chapter 1 is entitled The Testimony of the Thessalonians. Remember that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy passed through Thessalonica during Paul's second missionary journey. And they moved on from Thessalonica after a lot of trouble came against Paul and the others. Paul left Thessalonica and Silas and Timothy and went to Berea. And from Berea, trouble was caused there as well. Paul left Berea by himself and went down to Athens. We're over in Greece now, long way from Jerusalem. When he was in Athens, he wondered what happened to the Christians in Thessalonica. Remember, the underlying statement about the Christians in Thessalonica is they received the word of God in much affliction. We'll see that today in our text. They received beatings, lost their homes, were rejected by their families right off the bat. As soon as they received Christ, the whole town was in an uproar. To come up against Paul and Silvanus and Timothy and all the others. So by the time Paul made it down to Athens, he wondered what had happened to the Christians in Thessalonica. Brand new believers. And they were suffering such horrible afflictions. So he called for Timothy and sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to find out what the report was, is how they were doing. This letter is written to them. This first letter is written to them in response to the report that Timothy brought as to how they are doing. And we'll see that they're doing pretty well. He starts off the letter by saying, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the assembly of Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he writes to them there, and his theme is grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is a greeting for Greek in Greek, and peace is the greeting in Hebrew. And this is a spiritual grace and peace. It's from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The characteristics of the Thessalonians. Paul says, we give thanks to God. That's the main verb of the chapter. We give thanks to God. Always concerning all of you. How are we giving thanks? By making mention of you upon our prayers. What he's praying, he's remembering without ceasing three things. Your work of faith and labor of love and patience or endurance of hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before God and our Father. Three things, and as I've mentioned before, the Greek text has it such that it's expressing work of faith. Work is not doing the faith. Faith is doing the work. The work of faith. He says, remembering your faith that's working. Secondly, labor of love. That is, love that's laboring. Love that's motivating you to labor. The word labor means to work to the point of exhaustion. So the agape love is the motivation for them laboring to the point of exhaustion when it comes to the things of the Lord. And thirdly, the patience of hope, or more literally, the endurance of hope, the remaining under that hope produces of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is a word that means more than to wish. Hope is a word of certainty. The example I keep giving is the best one that I know of. A person's shipwrecked out in the sea and they're floating around. They're hoping to be found, hoping someone would see them and rescue them. That's a wish. This word hope, elpis, is a hope of certainty. In other words, a ship has seen him and signaled to him, we're coming to pick you up. That is a hope of certainty, not a hope of wish. That's the word hope here. We will see next week that they remain under because of the hope of Christ coming to get them and to deliver them. So he's remembering these three things about them. Work of faith, labor of love, and endurance of hope. This brings us to the call of the Thessalonians in verses 4 and 5. Knowing, brothers, the word knowing is a participle, it's an ing word. Shows continuous action. Making mention in prayers is the first participle coming off the main verb in verse 2. But we're remembering without ceasing, knowing something about you, brothers. And we studied that last week. Paul uses it affectionately in a family way, calling them brothers. Knowing, brothers, having been loved by God, being the objects of God's love, knowing your election. God's people have been elected. There's an election. Election means to call out. Ekloge is the noun used here. There's another adjective that comes from this, eklektos, that is the word for the Jews. They are the elect of God. They're the only ones who are called the elect. We experience the election of God. He's saying that you're called out ones. God has called you, and you have responded, and you have come to him. The example, we took John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. But reading verse 4, concerning the shepherd that stands at the sheepfold door and calls for his sheep to come out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. And they follow him. They are called out by God. God's going to call them, and they are to respond. When they came to Jesus in John chapter 6 and began to argue with him, Jesus told them in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day." The Father has to draw people to Jesus. He calls people. People respond to the call. And it's called the election. All of the people who are saved have experienced the election. That's why Paul is telling these Christians in Thessalonica, "I am certain of your election by God, not just because of your characteristics, but because of the call God's given you." Now in verse 5, he starts out with the word "because." There are four things that he's going to list, where he's going to tell them, this brings the certainty of your election. And all four of these phrases have the word "become" in it. It's not in the English translations. Your literal English translation has it. The first phrase is in verse 5, "because our gospel did not become to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." Secondly, the second phrase he uses to express his certainty about their election, "according as you know what kind we became among you on account of you." Verse 6. The third phrase, "and you yourselves became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Spirit." And fourthly, verse 7, "so that you became patterns to all the ones believing in Macedonia and in Achaia." So the four things that he knows about them where he can say, you have experienced the election of God. And to the point that they became the pattern. If anybody wants to know, has a question, have I experienced the election of God? It's a good text to use. "Because our gospel did not become to you in word only." That's going back to the first phrase in verse 5. "Not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." So our word to you when we spoke the gospel to you wasn't just words. I remember someone telling me a long time ago, the reason why he doesn't come to our Bible studies is because Bible studies are just verbal garbage. It's just verbiage. It's just words on a page. Not life. They are words on a page, but they are life to those who are listening. He says, "When I preached the gospel to you, it did not become word only. But secondly, but also in power." So not just words, but words with power. Word power designates a transformation, a change. So he says, "My words, when I preach the gospel to you, were transformation. And they changed you." Thirdly, it was spiritual. It wasn't human. It wasn't religious. It came to you in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what applied all this power to change your life and to make it not word only. And in much assurance, which means confidence. So they were confident in the very things they were hearing, and that they had come from God. Secondly, the second phrase with the word become in it. According as you know, what kind we became among you on account of you. So, we changed our lifestyle, Paul is saying. We became whatever is necessary to minister the gospel to you. When we get into chapter 2 and we study the testimony of the Apostle Paul, here we're studying the testimony of the Thessalonians. But in chapter 2, the testimony of Paul is that he said, we worked night and day to make sure the gospel was ministered to you. So they got a job, and they were making tents. And they got a job, and then they ministered at night so that they would not be a burden to these new believers. That's how Paul approached new believers. He says, we can show you scripture and that tells us that those of us who are apostles are set in scripture to be supported. Jesus said, you preach the gospel, you live by the gospel, and it supports you. Supposed to, but to some people that is an offense. So what Paul would do is he'd go get a job. Because he'd rather get a job and minister to the people at night and support himself than show them in Scripture where it's their responsibility to show support and to give support, but then have them get offended. People get offended over money. So he says, what we had to become in order to, on account of you, where you're at in the Lord, that's where we have to be. He's going to, in chapter 2, he's going to describe himself as a parent, as a nursing mother and a father takes care of their family. He says, so we took care of you, much like parents do their children. So it's taking into account what kind of people they are, where they're at in the Lord. In verse 6, the third phrase that he used to describe their election of God, and you yourselves became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You yourselves became, there's our word again. It means to become something you weren't before. A change. You yourselves became imitators or followers of us and of the Lord. The word imitators or followers is the Greek word which means mime. You became a mimic of us. It's the same word Paul used in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Let the mime of your life be the same as mine. No play on words intended. Mimetai is the Greek word that actually is a theatrical term. We get our word mime from it, mimic, as I just said. In Paul's day, the mime or mimic was an actor, not somebody that answered verbally according to a script, but someone who acted it out with expressions. They would put a mask on and they'd put costumes on and they would come out. They would act out a message for people to receive without saying a word. It takes a lot of talent to get a message across without speaking. So Paul was saying, as the expression of Christ is in us, you began to follow that expression because the same Christ is in you. I hope you're catching on here that by the time we get through this letter, Paul is going to say, I'm ministering to you the things of Christ, and in order for you to be following Christ accurately, you must be living like we are, the same expression. We have the same Christ in us as you do. Paul's ministry is different. He's an apostle. He was chosen by God to write most of the New Testament. But his message was to become like us, one with us. As you see Christ express himself through us, so imitate us, express himself through you. And you yourselves became imitators. So they became expressions of Christ, just like Paul. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Spirit. Here's one of the catchphrases in all of his presentation. Your receiving of the Lord was not human. You received the word of the gospel in much affliction. The word affliction is the word phleepsies. Phleepsies. And it means distress or pressure. So right away you receive the word with much affliction, much distress, much pressure. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it says that while Paul and Silvanus and Timothy were going on the second missionary journey, they revisited some of the churches from the first missionary journey, telling them they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many afflictions enter into the kingdom of God. I kept telling everybody, through many afflictions we enter into the kingdom of God. Much distress is going to come upon you. Much pressure is going to come upon you. And that's been appointed for God and from God to his people, that they're going to be afflicted. Here's the bottom line. We're not really who we really are until our obedience to Jesus Christ has been challenged by trials. When we're challenged by afflictions, that's who we really are. Do we stay obedient to Christ? That's what he's telling the Christians in Thessalonica. So you became expressions of Christ just like us, having received the word through much affliction. That's not human. That's not right. That doesn't make sense. It has to be the Lord. Why would you want to receive the Lord and then experience a lot of affliction? See, Satan comes against us. When we surrender to Christ, Satan becomes our enemy. And he tries to create afflictions and trials and hardships in order to challenge our obedience to Christ. not only did they receive the word in much affliction, but it says, with joy of the Holy Spirit. With joy of the Holy Spirit. The word joy is the word chara, and it means satisfaction. So they received the word in much affliction, but they were satisfied in the Holy Spirit. Spiritual. That's insane from a human perspective. To have the joy of the Lord, the satisfaction of the Lord, knowing that you're following Him and you're being afflicted for it. That was Paul telling them something that they already knew. And that is that afflictions come upon God's people. It's been appointed that way. And so they can rejoice, and that's an indication that they belong to Christ. And then verse 7, the fourth thing. So that you became patterns to all the ones believing in Macedonia and in Achaia. Again, the word became. You became examples. You became patterns. The word patterns is the word tupos for type. You became a pattern for what it is to be elected of God, called by God, coming to Christ, living under the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of afflictions and hardships. So Macedonia and Achaia are two provinces near Thessalonica. And so people wanted to know, what is it like to be saved? What is it like to be called by God and having responded to Him? What is it like to experience the election of God? You become a pattern. Become an example to other Christians. What is it like to be saved? And this is a pattern and type for us. That the Word of God is received not in words on a page, but with power. There's conviction. There's change. Sometimes it's gradual. There's transformation. It takes place in the hearing of the Word. So it's not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much assurance that this is from God because it lines up with His word and His will. To the point that people become imitators of Paul. Mimics. Paul ministers his word not so people can get their head filled with Bible knowledge, but rather so that they would learn to live the expression of Christ in their life like he does. He's a type. He's an example. But also following the Lord in much affliction. Not looking for a way out. Not quitting. With the joy of the Holy Spirit, satisfaction that this is the Lord's will, this is the way things are. Satan will come up against us, and there will be afflictions. We must have faith and trust the Lord. We too become patterns. We become patterns of what it's like to be the expression of Christ, what it's like to receive the word. Next week, we'll attempt to finish out this chapter, verses 8 through 10. As Paul continues the testimony of the Thessalonians, it's quite a testimony in the scriptures. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the enlightenment that it gives. Thank you for making it alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you for the change and the transformation that it brings. Thank you for the assurance, much assurance that you give us in the midst of the afflictions, in the midst of the trials, that can bring us the joy, the satisfaction that comes with following Christ. We pray that our lives will become patterns, examples to all of what the expression of Christ will be for those who grow in Christ and are faithful. As we're learning, Paul considers the life lived just as important as the word preached. It's not just words on a page. It's a life to be lived. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.